This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, really happy to have joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline guy who's been with us many, many times in the past, and great time to talk to him now. He's media columnist, national guy. He's Richard Deitch. Richard, good to have you with us again. Thanks for your time, buddy.
Hey, Richard.
What's up, guys?
We're hanging. You're hanging. You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm hopefully to, first off, to you and yours and your listeners. Hope everybody is staying safe in Cleveland. Yeah, I'm in Toronto right now, just out of 14-day self-quarantine. I had traveled to the States 15 days ago, and by order of the Canadian government, anyone who had traveled to the States, or the time I did, was California, Washington State, and New York, had to self-quarantine for 14 days. That order since became anybody who had traveled abroad has to self-quarantine for 14 days. So we are now out of it, but it only means that, you know, you can go to the grocery store if you need to, you can go to the pharmacy, but generally speaking, certainly everybody in Toronto who's listening to the health experts is in quarantine.
So, Richard, just let me ask you: Are you Canadian or no? I thought you're. Are you
no.
close? Aren't you?
No, okay. I am. Passport says America, says USA, but I've lived in Toronto the last 2 years.
Gotcha. And I know you do radio up there too, as well. Richard, let me throw this.
It's the reason we moved. A lot of people are like, you know, think I moved for political reasons, but no, economic reasons is the reason I ended up moving to Toronto. A great city, though. For any of your listeners who've never been up here,
love Toronto. I still think they're using Cleveland's old streetcars up there. At least they were for a long time.
Yeah, I think that's true. We have a lot in common with Cleveland when it comes to weather, so we know all about.
And you've got Mark Shapiro now, so you're good to go. That's all that matters.
That's right. He's still, you know, like his Indians days, still trying to play games with that service time, Mark Shapiro.
Well, the Indians have figured out how to do that, too. Hey, Richard, let me throw this first question at you. I think it's a brilliant idea that the NFL goes to 7 days. If we're currently in the same situation we're in now, when it's time for the NFL draft, the thought of doing 7 nights in primetime for the draft over 7 rounds, I think that's an absolute winner if we're still, you know, if we're still very desperate for programming and live programming and something to watch. What are your thoughts on that? And what are your thoughts on the draft in general?
Yeah, I agree. You know, I would say this. I think the first and second rounds of that kind of programming will be equivalent to what those first and second rounds have done in terms of viewership in previous years. Maybe a little bit more just because you're not competing with anything else on those nights. I do think, though, that I think more people for sure would end up watching rounds 4, 5, 6, and 7 than they usually would on that Saturday, because their people are craving for any kind of, calling the draft live programming is a weird thing, but that's what it is. And so, yeah, I think that's actually a pretty brilliant suggestion by whoever made it in the NFL office. And the only thing I would say with the draft is that, and I'm sure the NFL will do this because it's a very public, publicly conscious league. You know, you just have to make sure that the optics are, you're practicing social distancing. There's not a lot of, if it's a virtual draft, there's just not a lot of people who sort of are all together. You're not going to get that shot of Goodell hugging draft picks. So you sort of have to keep all that in mind. But, yeah, I mean,
I'm sure ESPN and the NFL Network would love to see it over 7 days, because that gives them, you know, 7 nights of original programming when they are scrambling to do anything at this point.
Richard, not to poo-poo that thought, because I agree with you on that. I agree with what Andy said. I get it. Original programming for 7 days. Can you imagine getting fired up to tune in to watch the sixth round of the NFL draft? I could go maybe 1, 2, 3 on separate nights, and then maybe do 4, 5, and 6, and 7 together.
Well, here's the thing, though. And again, I haven't. I'll eventually write about this. I haven't done any reporting yet on what the NFL draft is going to be, but there'll certainly be time for me to that. But here's. I would look at it just a little bit differently. I know what you're saying. I mean, having someone who's had to watch rounds 4 to 7 to write about, you know, you're like Elvis Presley in Vegas at that point. You want to shoot the TV because you can't take it anymore. So I get where you're coming from. But what I think they'll do is it won't just be like the fifth round of the NFL draft and who are these guys 99% of the audience doesn't know. What I think they'll do is they'll intersect that with bringing on current NFL players, discussing pretty hard what each team needs. You know, you may see, let's say, I'm making this up now, on the fifth or sixth round of the draft, like maybe ESPN or NFL Network gets an exclusive with Tom Brady. So I think what they would end up doing is they'll make that programming extend beyond the draft to larger NFL issues, and I think that's a way to make the presentation much more interesting than, yeah, you know, here's an offensive lineman from, name like a Division III college or something like that you've never heard of, and you can't really discuss because, you know, even the analysts on set don't know much about them. So that's I think, how they'll approach it.
Richard, obviously we're living in crazy times right now. I'm curious to hear your take on the way athletes are not only, you know, using regular media, but using social media. Like, I find it just really intriguing that if I open up Instagram, I see things like, you know, Mike Krzyzewski doing IGTV and seeing, I think that in some way, you know, we're all in this weird world, but I think some people who haven't used different forms of media before are kind of finding their way onto different platforms over the last 2 weeks. What's your thought on that?
Totally agree with you. I think what it does is it's shined some spotlight on people and how creative they can be when it comes to using technology to connect with us. And your Krzyzewski thing was an excellent example. Ernie Johnson is doing like a journalism class every day with a well-known broadcaster. What you see in sort of, I think, situations like this, understanding that this is not anything any of us have faced in our lifetime, is, you know, you see people really sort of figure out interesting ways to get a human connection with each other. So, and athletes have a massive audience on their social media feeds, so none of that surprises me. You know, Serge Ibaka in the NBA has done some interesting stuff. The cynic or really the maybe not a cynic, but the business side person might, you know, see it as a branding opportunity because we're all home and so many of us are online. So you want to get some kind of message out. But, you know, right now this is for athletes, for coaches, for programs, for teams, social media is essentially the best way for them to get their message out right now. So none of this surprises me. And like you, I've just seen a lot of amazing stuff that I'm like, wow, this is pretty creative or this is pretty smart. And, you know, this gives me some insight into people that I haven't seen before. Like, I mean, this is not going to happen, but could you imagine if, like, LeBron James, like, just decided to, at his house, like, every day at 3 o'clock hold, like, a basketball seminar, like 30 minutes with LeBron James on how to do X? You'd have 2 million people on that Instagram live feed. So there's a lot of opportunity to do some cool stuff.
I mean, even Mike Trout became really human during this when he was chipping shots from the second floor of his house into another one. I'm like, that's the most personality I think I've ever seen out of Mike Trout. I was excited to
see
that.
Are you saying a baseball player is actually marketing themselves? Wow, this really is truly a crazy time.
Richard Deitch joining us, media columnist and does radio in Toronto as well, and a great friend of our show. Richard, with everything where it is in pro sports right now and the NFL able to do some things, eventually, at some point, games are going to return. And whether they're able to return with fans or not, is that that big of a deal to the pro sports leagues at this point, or is making their game a television product once again, reaching the masses, the most important thing going on?
Yeah, it's a great question, and I think the answer to that is it depends on the franchise. So I think there are some teams where their gate revenue, like, it's not as big for them in, like, baseball. You know, let's take, like, the Miami Marlins, for instance, where the television revenues from national and local probably matter more. But, you know, if you're the Yankees or you're the Red Sox or the Cubs, like, that matters, man. That's a lot of money you're going to lose if you don't play games in front of people. But here's what I would say, and again, this is just my read, reading as much as I can. On our show and certainly in my podcast, I've talked to some epidemiologists, and I think you have to bet on the over if you're sort of thinking of a date when things are going to come back. I think a lot of the dates that get thrown out there are more optimistic than not. That's part one. And then part two, when and if health officials sort of give people the go ahead and say, okay, you know, you sports can return, here's sort of a date we're thinking of. I think some of these sports are going to play with no fans. I don't know if baseball will, because, you know, you're dealing with a lot of larger numbers in terms of roster size and stuff. But I would not be surprised if basketball, when it initially comes back, plays without crowds. Again, it's just a guess or a hypothesis on my part. But you ask a great question, and I think for certain sports, I think it's a big deal. The big one, of course, is the NFL and college football, as if we get deep into July, August, September, because I don't know how those sports go without fans. Those, to me, particularly college football, athletic departments, like, that is their, generally speaking, like, their bread and butter outside of the conference monies that they get from the ESPNs and Foxes of the world. So that would be, you know, I hope we're not in this position, but that would be one I'd be watching come if the health officials are still sort of saying, like, you got to social distance, you can't go in groups of 50 by August or so, what's the NFL going to do? What's college football going to do?
Richard, I just have one other spellbinding question for you. Jeff, if you have a real question, I have an unbelievably Canadian question for him. So, go ahead, Jeff. Ask you guys first. Why are Smarties different in the States? Okay, why are Smarties different in the States than they are in Canada? Like, drives me nuts. I love Canadian Smarties. They're chocolate. They're kind of like they're like big M&Ms, right? Isn't that the best way to put it?
Yeah, the other thing is what I don't understand is why are ketchup chips not, like, popular in the United States? This makes no sense to me. Like, Lay's ketchup chips here are so delicious. Major mega sellers here. And that's what I don't understand. Yeah, I would say I think Smarties are like – the closest equivalent, I think, would be M&M's to me in the States.
Right.
But they are better. Yeah. By the way, there's a lot of American candy that's much better than some crappy Canadian candy, for sure. But there are a couple of Canadian candies like Smarties.
Yeah.
Do you guys ever hear of Coffee Crunch?
Yes. I've gone up there to cover games. Oh, it's good.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a really delicious chocolate treat here in Canada that you, generally speaking, cannot get in the States. But otherwise, you know, trust me. There's some garbage candy here that thankfully does not get exported to the United States. But yeah, I Smarties, I don't know why you can't, you know, I'd say it always used to be fresh for me when I was in New York, you know, living in New York, you know, major capital, one of the world cities, and you could not get, like, Australian candy sometimes in England and candy from England. We're supposed to be a global world.
That's
you
right.
And let's get the candy companies of the globe together to share the wealth if they've come up with a better candy than not.
I always found it odd, too, that I think Reese's – does Reese's not have an S on it up there?
Let me think about this.
I don't know.
Yeah, you know, I've never noticed that. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I have to look. It is the same candy, though, it generally speaking.
Yeah.
Tastes. I will say this. I know Americans like this, too, but for whatever reason, Canadians love Kit Kats. There's a lot of Kit Kat advertising in Toronto. For whatever reason. So,
but it looks a little different. They have a different logo. I think the logo looks
different.
They
do. Different logo, but the same delicious treat. So
that's such a thrilling idea. Yeah. I've learned so much already
What That's a pot! You guys should use
Richard.
I mean, this is going to be one of the most downloaded podcast segments you guys have ever had. I can guarantee
we
that.
We probably should ask you what's going to happen in the booth for Monday Night Football too, while we have you.
Oh God, to talk about depressing. well, I mean, you know, ESPN's Tony Romo dreams evaporated. Their Peyton Manning dreams evaporated. And so the one thing I can predict is I don't think Booger McFarlane will be in the booth. I actually liked him more than the average person did. He had a terrible last game, but, you know, a lot of times it starts snowballing one way and you really can never escape it. But you said what happened to Jason Witten, too, who, by the way, was not good. But I think they will make that switch. I can't tell you who it's going to be. Looks like now maybe more in-house than not for the switch. The Tessitore one is the one I don't know, because I hear mixed things out of ESPN that he has support from upper management. They'd like to give him another shot. So you could see a Tessitore. I don't even want to speculate, but, like, you know, Tessitore slash fill in like your Lewis Riddick, Kurt Warner, Dan Orlovsky, you know, next analyst who you might particularly like. That's sort of what it's looking to me now. But yeah, man, can you know, if you grew up as a kid, like when Monday Night Football was like bigger than life, to yep. see where it is yeah. now, it's just like head spinning.
Isn't that the truth?
We agree. All right,
Richard,
we'll send you some other Smarties.
A pleasure.
Yeah, send me something cool from Cleveland. That'd be awesome.
Oh well, beer. That's our best. And pierogies.
Hey, you got some very good ballpark food though.
No, that's true. Oh, we'll send you some mustard. We'll send you some mustard.
Yeah, mustard. Yeah, I worked with a guy forever at Sports Illustrated, Mark Bechtel. He lived in Cleveland. He was a major, major Cleveland fan. And he would bring us back mustard from Cleveland. It was unbelievable. So you guys know what you're doing with that.
All right, we'll work on that.
All right, we'll send it up to you.
We'll work on
it. If we can get it through customs.
Richard, thank you, buddy.
All right. You got it, man.
Thanks, Richard.
I'll send you normal leadership from Canada. So I'm passing that on to you guys.
We're all for that. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Richard.
Richard Deitch, media columnist, sports media podcast, candy connoisseur, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.